Well, I have thoroughly enjoyed being at Lighthouse this past week, and I do believe that the Lord really did some great work, and I just want to stop and just tell you, first of all, you ought to be thankful for the church that you get to go to. You ought to be thankful. I'll tell you this right now, I love that choir. And man, we had the Clarks here this week. We had incredible special music this week. But it doesn't get better than the choir at Lighthouse Baptist. And I just want to thank all of you. Every time you sing, the music was amazing. And by the way, that's special. Well, I'll come back to that in a minute, just a minute. But and then I want to thank you for your pastor and your staff. Just the spirit, the helpfulness, the excellence. We had a lot of events going on. By the way, good stewardship of your building, and you have great facilities. But I mean, we did everything, and your people were there for each one of the events and organizing it, decorating it, putting it all together. There is no way that this week happens without the staff, membership of Lighthouse Baptist, but also isn't just what you did, but it was the way and the spirit that you did it in. It was done with, everything was so well organized, so well planned. And I'm around a lot of events. And they're like, okay, boy, that's going to be changed next year. Boy, they just did a great job. And then the spirit and the attitude, sometimes when people do excellent things, they kind of do it with a kind of a haughty spirit. Yeah, we know we do it really well. That's not true here. They do it with just a humble spirit, wanting to be a blessing. And I was just thinking this morning before I came to church, how many lives were touched this past week? It was a really different group yesterday than it was Thursday. And just how many different lives, and Lighthouse Baptist, you're a part of all of that. And just praise God for that. And you know what? I just love seeing your pastor lead the music. Man, he still loves it. Look at, he's 93 years old. And it's like you'd never know it, man. You'd never know that. There's just such a joy about it and everything. And I just appreciate that. I can't remember the last time I heard a clarinet offertory. That was so good. Guys, I do travel around a lot. You say, yeah, you probably say this. No, I don't. I do not say the things that I have just said in the last 5 minutes everywhere I go. This is a very special place, and you ought to thank God. I love the staff. Of course, you know, Tim and Lexi mean a lot to me. Nathan, Sam, the Charles, Amy. I gave my life to West Coast, and to see these graduates out doing what they're doing, that's why we went, and it just is a thrill to come back to Lighthouse Baptist. I know I'm not going to come back for a long time, though. I know it, because I gave you everything I got. I don't have anything. I got to wait a few years, you know, because I'm telling you, I was thinking about that this morning. I'm thinking, whoa, I wonder how many more days I could keep going. But it's been really good. Then I want to talk about two things before we get started with our message. I want to talk about the choir number, His Life for Mine. Now, I don't know who's here today, but let me just tell you something. That's the greatest deal the world has ever known. My life is a mess. My life was sinful. My life was destroyed. My life was worth nothing. He is God, and He became a man, and He gave me His life for me. Let me tell you what. He didn't get much from the deal. I got everything from that deal. If you're here today and you have never trusted in Jesus Christ, I want you to know Christ gave His life for you. I don't know who you are. I don't know where you are. I don't care what's ever happened in your life. Listen, there isn't anything you're giving Him. He's giving you what we also just heard sung about. He's giving you forgiveness. He is wiping the debt away. I owed a debt I could not pay. He paid a debt He did not owe. He took my, you know, just as simple as that song was, His life for mine. Boy, if you have never made that exchange, I would encourage you to do that today. I would encourage you to say, dear God, you gave your son his life. He suffered, bled, and died on the cross for me. I would like to receive Christ for the forgiveness of my sins. If you've never done that, I encourage you to do that today. I don't care what age, you may be a young girl here, you may be an old man here, but if you have never made that exchange, you did, well, how do you do this exchange? How does this happen? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You ask God in your heart. You say, dear God, I know that I have done wrong and I know that I'm a sinner, but I believe that Jesus Christ took my place on the cross. He died, was buried, and rose again for my sin, and I'd like to ask Jesus Christ to be my Savior. And by the way, how many of you have had that exchanged life? How many of you have received Christ as your Savior, and you know the Lord, and you said, okay, you got your hand up right now, you can put those down, you just raised your hand, then come on, we need to forgive others. I have never heard that song before in my entire life. That was really, really good. How can you hold a debt against somebody else when you know what Jesus Christ has forgiven you of? And that forgive, and you are, I loved at the end of that song, you know, it just says, and you're the one that gets free. And that's so true, folks. It's not worth it. Don't keep records on people. Don't hold it. Let it go. And just remember everything he did for you. Okay, let's have an invitation. We'll go home. I got a couple things to tell you. But I do. Pastor, thank you so much for allowing me to be here. And I mean that. Man, it's just been a really, really good week. Take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 22, if you would. Genesis chapter 22. And I want to talk to you about a couple things. I don't know if you've ever heard of this word before, but the word is metaphor. A metaphor is a word picture. It's something that's being compared to something else so you can understand it. A metaphor, a word picture. I'll tell you this. When you're using metaphors, you're using other people's imagination to get across to your point. You have a struggle with communication in your marriage, try metaphors. Try giving examples to your spouse in the world that they live in. They go, oh, so that's what you mean by that. It's a word picture for you to be able to illustrate in somebody's imagination what you're trying to say. Well, I think the greatest metaphor of the Christian life is a walk. A walk. You know, it says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. It is the most natural form of exercise and movement of the body is a walk. And our Christian life is compared to a walk. Now, in order to walk, you have to, help me out, let's see how well we're doing. In order to walk, you have to take what? Steps. You cannot walk without taking steps. You got to take steps to walk. Now the Bible says that we are to take a step of, see if you know it, a step of faith. That's right, a step of faith. But I've noticed in my life, that when I come to a step of faith, and really, it's impossible to please God without faith. So, every day of our life, we have to take steps of faith or we cannot please God. If there's a day that you don't take a step of faith, that was a day you couldn't please God. So, I believe that no matter who we are, how old we are, whatever's going on in our life, we've got to take steps of faith in order to please God. But in my personal life, and hopefully you can relate to this, sometimes we struggle with, am I taking a step of faith? Or am I forcing this step? Am I kind of going, God, catch up with me here. This is something I need to do, and you didn't show it. So I got to do, and we force it. Sometimes we take a step of flesh. And we take this step, and we kind of thought it was spiritual, but it was actually very fleshly. And then we come to those points, and we go, God, I really do want to take a step of faith. But how do I know that it's faith that I'm stepping out on? Or am I forcing it? Or is it fleshly? Is it foolish? Is this a foolish step? God, sometimes there's not a big difference between a foolish step and a faith step. How can we know, Brother Shetler? Well, I think we can. I want to give you four filters to take steps of faith. And when you come to those steps where maybe it's going to be about finances, maybe it's going to be about a relationship, maybe it's going to be about something health-wise, medically, maybe it's going to be about a position or a possession, a purchase, and you go, Lord, I don't want to take a foolish step. I don't want to take a fleshly step. I don't want to take a forced step. I want to take a faith step. But God, I don't know for sure it is that. Well, I'm going to give you four ways how I believe you can know. So let's look at these for just a moment. Number one, a faith step will cause you to let go and let God. If you're going to take a step of faith, one way you can know it is you have let go of the decision. You have let go of trying to make it happen. You have let go of it, and you're letting God. Look with me, if you would, at Genesis 22. I think we could give, without any exaggeration, scores of illustration in the Bible. Because I just think almost anything of a step of faith is a letting go of something. But I can't think of a better example than Genesis 22. So look with me for just a moment. Genesis 22, and look at verse number 1. And it came to pass after these things. Okay, so we're going to talk about this guy named Abraham. And when it says, and it came to pass after these things, there's been a lot of things that have happened. Now, according to the scriptures in Romans chapter 4, we know when Abraham got saved. Abraham got saved in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 16. In Genesis 15, 16, it says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted for him for righteousness. It says it right in Genesis 15, 16. Then you go to Romans chapter 4, and it says, Paul writing, it says, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed, it was counted unto him for righteousness. So we know when Abraham got saved. He got saved in chapter 15. But I'm telling you, he's a rascal. Genesis 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, and 21. You would not know that Abraham is a righteous man. He's telling his wife to lie to a king. He's doing this, he's doing that. And then they don't have any kids. So Sarah says, take my handmaid, Hagar, and have a child with her. And they're just putting all this stuff together. They're not living by faith. And they're putting all this stuff together. And by the way, boy, that was a bad decision. They are still struggling in the Middle East because of that decision. The descendants of Ishmael are still causing the descendants of Abraham, of Isaac's seed, problems. And so Abraham's doing all this stuff. So when it says, and it came to pass after these things, I'm telling you something. Abraham hasn't been living, been taken. He has four steps. He has taken foolish steps. And he has taken fleshly steps. So it says, and it came to pass after these things that God did, okay, we're going to say it, everyone together, and God did what? Tempt Abraham. Brother Shetler, Like, I thought that was the devil that tempted people. Well, it is. Devil does tempt. So let's find out what this word tempt means. In 1 Chronicles chapter number 9, in verse 1, you don't have to turn to it, but in 1 Chronicles chapter 9, it is 2 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 1, there is a queen that is sick and tired about hearing about this king. And she just goes, you know what? I'm so tired to hear about all of his riches and all of his wisdom. I am going to prove him. I am going to test him. I am going to tempt him. And the Queen of Sheba comes to see King Solomon. And the Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 1, she came to prove him. The word prove in 2 Chronicles 9, 1 is the word tempt here. Now, why is that important? Because this is what God is finally doing with Abraham. Abraham, you said you believed in me back in chapter 15, but I haven't seen it. So I'm going to test you. I'm going to tempt you. I'm going to prove you. I want to see, are you going to take a step of faith? Are you going to trust me or not? So here's what I'm going to do. Look at this. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. Look at verse 2. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac. Everyone together. Is that Abraham's only son? So the Bible just lied. The Bible said what? Take thy son, thine only son. You didn't want to say it, did you? Take thine only son, Isaac. But Isaac's not his only son. Oh, do we have a problem in the Bible? No. We got a problem with Abraham. And here's the problem with Abraham. God does not recognize Ishmael because Ishmael was a child that was born of the flesh, it was forced, and it was foolish. You didn't trust me on this thing with Hagar and Ishmael, Abraham. So I only, listen, this is so good. I only recognize faith. I do not recognize foolishness. I do not recognize flesh. And I do not recognize you forcing to try to work out my will for your life. The only thing I recognize is faith, and Isaac is the son of faith. And I want to tell you something, friend. God doesn't recognize all the things that you do if you're not doing them in faith. You may be, oh, I serve God every day. Well, let me tell you something. If you're not doing it in faith, God doesn't recognize it. He says, take thy son, thine only son, Isaac. Now look at this. Well, this gets good. Take thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou, everyone together, whom thou what? That was terrible. Everyone together, whom thou? That is the first time the word love is mentioned in the Bible. Now, I'm not saying there's not love before this, but it's the first time it's mentioned in the Bible. Right there, whom thou lovest. Everyone together, is it wrong to love your son? Some of you are going, I'm not sure. I don't. Yeah. No, it is not wrong to love your son. So what's going on here? Here's what I want you to do, Abraham. I want you to take your only son, you know, the one of faith, Isaac, whom thou lovest. Now, there's nothing wrong with you loving your son. But don't love your son more than you love me. Let me tell you what this test is about, because this is really good for you to understand the faith thing here. This is about Abraham's priorities. This is about Abraham's priorities. This isn't about, I don't want you to love Isaac. No, 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 no. I don't want you to put anything between you and me. I don't want you to have anything that is more important to you than me. That's what God says. Don't have any other. And right now, Isaac is like a god to you. There's nothing wrong with you loving your son, but don't make him a higher priority than me. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering. Whoa! Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take that which you love, and I want you to put it on the altar, and I want you to let go. I don't want you to be in control of it anymore. I want you to give it over to me. And I want you to stop trying to connive and work it together and let go. Now listen to me. Brother Shetler, we got some major decisions right now. There's some major decisions about retirement we got to make. There's a major purchase we got to make. We got some health situations right now that we got to decide. Are we going to take medication? Are we going to do surgery? Are we not going to do anything? We've got some major steps that we need to take. Brother Shetler, this is a very timely message for me and my wife right now, for our family right now. My children are thinking about college and whatever. I don't know what it is. But let me tell you the first thing that you need to do if you're going to take a step of faith. You need to give it over to God. You need to give it over to God right now and say, "Dear God, this is not about me. This is about you. And Lord, I kind of know what I want. I want healing in this. I kind of want this purchase to go. I really want this position. I've been really praying about. But you know what, Lord? I'm letting go of it. I'm putting it on the altar, and I'm saying, God, it's yours now. It's no longer mine. It's yours. I'm letting go of it." Now, folks, this is a very important step if you're going to take a step of faith. You have to give it and surrender it over to God, and that's what he does. Now, I love this part. Look at the end of verse 2. Okay, and go into the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering. Now, look at this. Upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now, this is so important. Everyone, you've got to get this. Okay, so you let it go to God. But God doesn't give you all the steps at once. God shows you how to take a step of faith one step at a time. So here's what I want you to do. Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son, whom thou lovest, and I want us to get this priority thing right. I want you to give him as a burnt offering. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to the range of mountains. I asked in the first service, and there was no one. Is there anyone here that's ever been to Jerusalem? Okay, well, we got one. You got to take a trip to the Holy Land, I'm telling you. You got to get more people over to Israel, all right? Okay, so if you've ever been to Jerusalem, you've been to Israel, there is a range of mountains around Jerusalem. The range of mountains is called Moriah. Here's what he tells Abraham. He says, "Now listen, Abraham, I want you to take your only son, whom thou lovest, Isaac, and I want you to go to Moriah. And when you get to Moriah, I will show you what mountain to offer your son on. I'm not showing you right now. You take the first step, I'll show you the next step." Now, this is really important because we got this old guy. This guy's like 120 years old. He's got a 3-day journey from where he lives to where Moriah is. He could have gone along the way and go like, "You know what? Whoa, 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 whoa. You know what? There's a mountain right there. Let's just do this right here, Isaac, okay? We don't need to go 3 days. Let's just do this. Whoa." He gets the wrong mountain, there's no ram in the thicket. Think about that. He's got to get to the right mountain, because if he's not at the right mountain, he's not going to get the right provision. Lighthouse Baptist, this is really important to get. If you don't take the right step of faith, you're not going to be in the right place for God to do the provision that he wants to do in your life. it is very important that we take a step of faith, and you don't need to know everything. You don't need to know everything that's going to happen with the surgery, with the medical. All you need to do is take the next step of faith. You don't need to understand everything. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Okay, so you take one step at a time. So we're not asking you, okay, guys, today at the invitation, are you ready to take the big step? No. Will you just take the next step in faith? God, I let go and I let you. God, I don't want to be in control of this, and I don't want, whether we buy that pickup truck, whether I take this position, whether we do this medical procedure or not, I don't want that to be the most important thing. I want your will to be the most important thing. So here's what I do, God. I let go of it. It's yours now. That's the first step. Brother Schaller, how do I know that I'm taking a step of faith? Number one, a faith step will cause you to let go and let God. Number two, I want you to get this one. A faith step will have the scriptures behind it. A faith step will have the scriptures behind it. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, there are probably a lot of people in here that are familiar with this verse, but you need to hear this. A faith step will have the scriptures behind it. And before, just before you get ahead of me and go, oh, Brother Schaller, come on, you could do better than this. You know as well as I. Anyone can go into the Bible and find whatever they want. All right, just hold on for just a minute, okay? Before we'll answer that. We'll take care of that in just a minute. But let's look at Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Don't you love that? Let's all just say that verse. That's just such a great verse. Psalm 119, 105. Everyone together. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Decide right now. You want to take a step of faith? Decide right now that every step you take will be guided by this word. That the Bible will be behind the step that you take. Now, there's three things that the Bible gives you. It gives you precepts, principles, and promises. So let's talk about this real quick. Precept, those are commandments. Don't you ever think that there's a step of faith out there that goes against a precept of the Bible. Ain't no way. Excuse the English. You can't ever disobey God's word and go, well, I was taking a step of faith. No, you weren't. Not if you knew it was a clear precept. Now, so I just gave a real easy one, Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. Thou shalt not steal, okay? So if you're going to work and you're taking things because you've worked there for 20-some years and you can just take that stuff, you know, and you've justified that in your mind, can I tell you? That is not a step of faith. That is not a step of faith. It is never a step of faith to go against the word of God. Are you with me? So if it's a clear command, a precept, mark it down, write it down, that is not a step of faith. It's a precept. It's a clear command. You can't do that. Okay, number two is a principle. Now, principles get a little more interesting. There's no doubt about it. Now, principle, let me give you one, 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Okay. In the context of that principle, it's like you're not supposed to yoke together with unbelievers with business deals. We use it a lot of times with marriage. I think it fits well. An unbeliever shouldn't marry a believer, or a believer shouldn't marry an unbeliever. That's what I'm going to say. A believer shouldn't marry an unbeliever. Be not yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness, with light with darkness? So there's a principle there, and maybe that can give you some discernment on what you do or where you go. Abstain from all appearance of evil.
Okay, that's a principle. So you go like, okay, what about an entertainment? What about my dress? What about my music? What about what I eat? What, abstain from all appearance of evil. It's a principle now that we're going to put into our life, and we're going to take a step of faith because of the principle. Then, and I know this is the delicate one, there are promises. Now, I just want you to know, I cannot think of a major decision in the last 30 to 40 years of my life that I did not base it on a principle, a precept, or a promise from God's word. Now you say, Brother Shuttler, I was doing really good with your message till just now, because I got to tell you something. You can find whatever you want. You can use whatever you want from God's word. Now, that's why I also have two more points, okay? But this is where I wanted to place this point. But if you take all four of the points that I'm going to give you today, I think you can go to the word and with a principle, a precept, or a promise and say, no, no, this is not a step of faith. This is what the Bible said. Or, Lord, I believe you gave me this promise. And this promise is going to guide me right now. I cannot tell you how many times in my life that I said, no, God, I just can't go any further until you give me scripture. Now, I've got two more points coming up that's going to help you with this one, but I put this here because I think it's important. Number one, a faith step will cause you to let go and let God. Number two, a faith step will have the scriptures behind it. Folks, don't go against the word of God. Let the word of God guide you. All right, number three. A faith step will not be about your plans, but God's peace. A faith step will not be about what you put together. It'll be about the peace of God in your heart. Now, if you have not turned to anything yet, you got to turn right now. Take your Bibles. This is the most important passage of this entire message. Take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter number 14. Romans 14. So over the years, people have said to me constantly, Brother Shatlar, how do you know if something is God's will if the Bible doesn't talk about it? I mean, like, what about technology? What about entertainment? What about medical procedures? What about whatever? The Bible doesn't clearly talk about this stuff. So how can you know God's will? Romans 14, verse 22 and 23. These have been the two guidelining verses that have protected me and that I've gone by. I gotta have the peace of God. It's not about your plans. It's about God's peace. You're not wrestling with God. You should be resting in God. You're not warring against God. You're waiting on the Lord. It's not about a place or a position. It's about peace. It's about the person of Christ. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Look at these two verses. These are amazing. Romans 14, look at verse 22. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Now look at this. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth, hey, is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Brother Shetler, help me. So what are we talking about here? Okay, this is it. Guys, this is so good. How do you know if you're taking a step of faith or you're forcing it or it's foolish or whatever? Here's how. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Now listen. Happy is he who condemneth not himself in that which he alloweth. For if he doubts, he's damned already. For it eateth not of faith, but is of sin. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now listen, here's how this goes. Jim, We right now are in a situation with cancer that we don't know if we should do chemo, if we should have surgery, or if we should do holistic. We don't know. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I ain't going to tell you. And there's no way I would know. That is a very personal decision between you, your loved one, and God. Very personal. It's not up to me to tell you what you need to do. But I am going to tell you this. You need to take a step of faith. What is your step of faith? So you're saying chemo. No, I didn't say that. So you're saying no chemo. No, I didn't. Okay, now listen. In my ministry, I don't know the exact number, but I do believe it's got to be over 36 people that we have anointed with oil and that we have prayed over. Now, let me tell you something. When I do this, I always ask a few questions. Number one, are you right with the Lord before we pray over you? Are you right with God? Is there anything between you? And that would be James chapter 5. Is there anything you need to confess? Is there anything that you're not right with God? Number one. Number two, do you want God's glory no matter what happens here? Do you want God's glory? And then listen to number three. I have never anointed anybody with oil that I did not ask this question. And number three, what do you believe is your step of faith? And I've had people say, Brother Shelton, it's the third time we got this cancer. I'm not doing the radiation again. I'm not doing the chemo again. I'm trusting God. We're going to juice things. We're going to do a natural thing. And that's our step of faith. Okay. Brother Shetler, we've studied this out. We've talked to doctors. And we believe that the step of faith that God wants us to take is this chemo. Brother Shetler, we have prayed about it. My wife and I have laid it before God. We want God's will. And we do believe that this surgery is what God wants us to do. Guys, God can use any method he wants. My only question is, which one is your step of faith? Which one is your step of faith? Which step are you taking in this that's a step of faith? You know, Brother Shetler, I'd like to, as a pastor, could you pray with us afterwards? We're about to buy a house. And I don't know, we believe this is God's will. But we just want to make sure that we're not forcing it right now. Are we making this decision because of interest rates right now or not making this decision? We're not sure, Brother Shetler. Okay? I'm going to go through what I just said, and I'm going to say, before we pray, what do you believe your step of faith is? What do you think you're going to do? Well, you're not forcing it. You're trusting God. Well, this is the step we believe that there's not a doubt. Now listen, I gotta add this. Can you have a decision, Brother Shetler, that you're not condemning yourself and you're not doubting yourself, but you're scared? It's like, I am a little scared about this step. No, that's fine. I ain't got no problem with the scared thing. I really don't. There's no problem. That doesn't mean, oh, you didn't have faith. No. How many decisions did I make in my life that I was like, Lord, this is a little scary, but there's a peace in my heart that I believe this is the step I need to take. Are you with me? Do you understand this? Because this is really important, because it's not like, okay, well, if you have any fear about it, then you know that that's not a step of faith. No, I don't know of any step of faith I've ever taken that I wasn't a little risky, a little scared about, okay? But here's the catch. My conscience doesn't condemn me. I'm not taking this step and going, oh, I don't think that was the right. No, that's not faith. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he who condemneth not himself in that which he alloweth. You're not condemning. Oh, this was the wrong decision. No, okay, that's not faith. I'm scared to take this step. I don't, that's okay. That's okay, I've been there. That can still be, God, I cannot tell you that I don't have a little bit of fear. But God, I believe this is the way. Walk ye in it. I believe this is what you want me to do. I think you want me to take this position. I think you want me to start this relationship. I think you want me to sell this. I think you want me to move. I think you want me to stay. God, this is the one. By faith, I think this is the step you want. Okay, a faith step will not be a part, it won't be about your plans. It'll be about God's, everyone together, about God's peace. And number four, and we're done. And this is the short one. A faith step will have as its motive his glory and not your good. A faith step will have as its motive his glory, not your good. Now, we all know enough about God that if we do something for his glory, it's going to be good for us, okay? But the point is, you're not making that decision. You're not buying that thing. You're not doing that thing. You're not taking that position. You're not selling this because it's good. Hey, this will be good for me. You're not doing it for that reason. You're doing it for the glory of God. God, I'm making this decision for your glory. That's my motive, as best I know my motive. And I know that we can have struggle with that, but that's what I wanted to tell you. See, here's what I think. Brother Shetler, if we do all four of these, will we always take the right step? Most of the time. What? You just don't tell me there's another point because I got to get going. Okay, no, stop. Hold on. There's no more points. But listen to me because this is important. I believe that if a person's coming to a decision in their life and they're about to take a step of faith and they say, God, I'm letting this go. It's yours. I'm surrendering this. You're my priority, not this decision. God, I'm letting it go and I'm letting you. Number two, God, this is the scripture that I believe you're showing me that I need to take this step. This is not about my plans. God, this is the peace that I have. I think this is the step you want me, and I don't condemn myself for taking this step, buying this, doing this, going here, whatever. This is the peace. Lord, this is about your glory, not my good. God, I'm making this decision because I believe this will bring glory to you. Now, let me tell you this. What kind of God do we have that if after those four things you made a bad decision, that God's not going to step in his sovereignty, in his love, and not do what he needs to do? So we said, Brother Shetler, I'm not sure I understand what you just said. Okay, here's what I meant. So if you go through these four things and you make a decision and you go, that wasn't a good decision. Oh, man, I did everything that guy preached that day, and I don't think this is the right decision. Let me tell you something. My God knows why you made that decision. And I understand. I give you four great, I think these are four great filters. But does this mean, and you will never make a wrong step if you do these four things? No, you might. But wow, at that point, you gave it over to God. At that point, you wanted his glory. At that point, you believed that was the scripture. And at that point, you said, God, I had peace. God will work that together for good, let me tell you. There is no way that he's going to let one of his children, well, I'm going to teach you a lesson. But teach me what lesson? God, I gave it over to you. I looked into the scriptures. I wanted your peace. I thought I had it. And dear God, this was for your glory. God's going to work that together for good, let me tell you. But I'm going to tell you, for almost every decision, if you follow these four things, you're going to make the right step. You're going to take the right step. So let me ask you, it's impossible to please God without faith. So let me ask y'all, what's your step of faith right now? What is God asking you to step out on? Will you right now, today, in this church service, let go and let God? Will you make a commitment, God, I got to get some more direction from your word. I'm not trying to go to the word and trying to make my little will happen. God, I just let go of it. I just let you have it. God, I need scripture to guide me. I'm going to talk to pastor afterwards because we're in a situation. Maybe he knows a promise or a precept or a principle that can help guide us. Lord, I'm a little scared about this, but my spirit does not condemn me. I really believe I'm taking this step by faith. And even though I'm a little scared, I got a peace. I think this is what you want, Lord. And I sense that. Lord, today in church, this is for your glory. God, I'm not making this decision for my good. I am not selling that or buying this. I'm not taking that position or not taking that position. I'm not moving or staying for me. I'm doing this for you, God. For your glory, I'm making this decision about this thing in my life. That's a step of faith that God will honor and he'll be pleased with. You got one to take? I don't know how you can please God without taking a step of faith. So you got yours? Every head bowed, every eye closed. First thing I want to ask is this. Way, way back in this message, like 40 years ago, I talked to some of you that may be visiting here. Or maybe you're a member, I don't know. His life for yours. Have you ever by faith asked Jesus Christ to save you? Is there ever been a time in your life where you said, dear God, I am not going to heaven by me. I need Jesus Christ's life who died for me. His life for mine. I'd like to receive Jesus Christ this morning as my Savior. I have never trusted the Lord before, and I would like to trust Christ today for the forgiveness of my sins and know that I'm on my way to heaven. Brother Shatler, I'd like to get saved today. I'd like to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. Would you pray for me? If that's true, would you raise your hand right now? Is there anyone? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Is there anyone else? Praise God for that. Thank you for your honesty and your humbleness. Amen. Yeah, I see that one. There's two. Anybody else that would say this morning, I would like to get saved. Yes, sir. I see that. Thank you. You can put that hand down. We're going to give you an opportunity to do that in just a moment. Praise God for that, sir. Anyone else? Anyone else? I'll wait just a minute. Okay. How many of you would say, wow, Brother Shetler, unless Pastor Walsh told you something, I just got to tell you right now, we are at a major decision. In my life, a relationship, a purchase, a position, wow, a health thing. Right now, I'm at a point where I got to take a step. I do not want to force this step. I don't want to take a foolish step, and I don't want it to be a fleshly step. I want to take a step of faith. God spoke to my heart today, and I want to let go of this thing today, and I want to let God. And I am surrendering this decision to God this morning, right now. I'm letting God have it. Brother Shetler, would you pray for me? I am giving this over to God this morning. If that's true, would you raise your hand? You got a decision like that? Amen, amen, amen. Several? Several, yeah. Over to my right, my left, in the middle. Very good, very good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad you can come to church and get some biblical instruction on how to make a decision, how to take a step of faith? Anyone else with these many hands that just went up? Anyone else? Yes, I see that. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? You have not raised your hand yet, and you'd say, would you include me? All right, now listen, I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. In just a minute, we're going to stand to our feet, and we're going to have a hymn of invitation. Are you going to do Trust and Obey again? I thought that was fabulous. In first service, Brother Walsh had a Trust and Obey. I can't think of a better invitation song. Trust and obey. Take a step of faith and obey what God's telling you to do. And if you just raised your hand, I want to encourage you to do something. I think it'll also be an encouragement to others. I'm going to ask that you step on out and down to the altar and let it go. Moses had to go 3 days to Moriah. All you have to do is go a few feet to the altar and just say, God, I'm letting go of it right now. God, I need your wisdom. I need your direction, and I'm leaving it at the altar. I'm letting go of it. This is going to be for your glory, not my good. I need your peace. I need a promise from the scriptures, and I'm letting go of it today. And God, you guide on that medical thing or that purchase or that position or that relation, whatever it is. God, I'm giving it over to you. And I need direction on a step in my life. And Lord, I just raised my hand. And Father, I'm praying for every one of those that just raised their hand, that this morning, for your glory, they would come down and they would let go of it and they would leave it. And then, Father, for the two that raised their hand for salvation, I pray today would be the day of salvation for them. Lord, may they not be embarrassed, not ashamed. Your son was not ashamed to die on the cross for their sin. May they not be ashamed to receive Christ today. So with our heads bowed, our eyes closed, I'd like to have everybody stand to their feet. Everybody stand to their feet. If you raised your hand that you wanted to exchange your life for his and you wanted to get saved today, as soon as you hear that first note on that piano, I'm going to ask both of you to come forward. We want to take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. Now, there was probably 12 to 15 people that raised their hand that said, hey, I want to let go of it today. Let me encourage you. Abraham had to go 3 days' journey. You just come down to the altar and say, God, I'm letting go of it right now. I want your will. This is for your glory, and I need direction, God. And I'm giving it to you right now. I'm encouraging you, as soon as you hear the first note on the piano, and as soon as we start singing Trust and Obey, you do that. You trust and obey what God is telling you to do. So as we sing, as Brother Walt, Pastor, leads us in Trust and Obey, you come. If you raised your hand for salvation, you come down and shake my hand right now and say, hey, I want to get saved. If you raised your hand that you want to give it over to God, would you just step out right now as we begin to sing?